for free. Has anything changed at home? Sweet liberty.
Jackie Patru and Sweet Liberty. And now, here's your host, Jackie Patru.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me. Thank you for joining us tonight on Sweet Liberty. Today is Tuesday, and it is the 24th of August. I know that because I looked at the calendar. It is Tuesday, the 24th of August in the year 2004, and I am glad that you're with us this evening. We have a guest this evening with us, folks, and I think there are many of you of our longtime listeners who will be delighted to know that our guest is with us. And for those of you who are newer listeners, you've heard me mention the name many times, and I want to do first our spiritual message. I'm going to do this twice tonight, because this is from the New Testament, and it's in the red. It is attributed to the words of Jesus. And this is the first one here is from Luke 8, beginning with verse 16. The only reason I'm doing them both is because I like them both, and they're saying the same thing, but one is a little tiny bit different than the other. No man, when he has lighted a candle, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and take abroad. Excuse me, and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and whosoever has not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seems to have. You know, I have to say, I don't understand that last clause that I just read. And then I'm going to go over to Matthew 5, where he is quoted as saying pretty much the same thing a little bit differently. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, and neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And Jesus told us that the kingdom of God is within us, didn't he, folks? And I take that very seriously, and I take it literally. And our guest this evening is Mr. Alan Watt from Canada. And Alan, welcome back to Sweet Liberty.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, well, it's been the last few conversations we've had since we've been in touch again have, mm-hmm. as always, been not just delightful, but always meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate you coming on with us. Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
When I was reading from Luke, that verse, you know, that for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest.
Yeah.
Neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. And then it says, take heed, therefore how ye hear, for whosoever has, to him shall be given, and whosoever has not, from him shall be taken, even that which he seems to have. Do you understand that, Alan?
Yeah.
Would you help me with that?
I think people have to understand that the mystery religion of the ages is wrapped around all religions. And if you have gained the spirit, as they say, more is given to you. But if you have not attained spirit, then even the soul is taken from you.
And when you say attained and got spirit, would you say spiritual awareness, spiritual consciousness?
That's all part of it, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's all part of it.
And you know what? When I was looking for this, I found where he had said that fear not those who can kill the body, but not the soul, but fear those who can. I can't.
The body and the soul.
The body and the soul. And when I read that, it really was quite frightening because until then, really, it just wasn't even a thought in my mind
mm-hmm.
that a person could lose their soul.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That a person could lose it. And the battle that is going on today and that has been going on for all these centuries is not just a battle for world dominion over the physical, but over also the aspects of our mind, our entire soul, right?
It's literally, in the old religion, this is the key to all of this. In the old mystery religion that pre-existed all the religions that we have today, the person who sought with their soul, if they sought hard enough, would attain spirit. Spirit wasn't born with you, that's what they believed.
I see.
And so as you attained the knowledge, the spirit that was your spirit came closer to you, so it merged. And that was called life, complete life, when you had body, soul, and spirit in the one. That was the first trinity. And of course, those that took over the system and warped everything and changed everything, their goal is to deny people from gaining spirit, basically, and to be zombies. Good worker bees.
Where that is confusing to me is that I have, again, it has not been a thought in my mind that each and every one of us in this physical form is actually a spiritual nature animating
mm-hmm.
the physical form.
Yeah.
And I can't imagine a human here without being that spiritual being of Creator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you see, this was the supposed mystery of the soul and the spirit. The soul was the animating force that gave life and made you seek out truth. And so life was supposed to be a journey, always looking for the ultimate truth. And when people passed a certain stage, the thoughts would flow to them with crystal clarity that they'd never had before. And that was attainment of spirit. It's even wrapped in the Christian version when they get the Holy Ghost. It's the same thing, the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was completion, you might say. So everyone has the ability to communicate to that part of the Creator.
Yes.
You see, however, those that rule the world and warped everything and gave us religions have attempted to squash the natural ability to find your own course towards that spirit. That's what it's about.
In other words, the religions that we have been given have really promulgated a sense of separateness.
Absolutely.
Specialness. And I know that a lot of people quote Paul a lot,
mm-hmm.
where he said, you're only going to get there by grace alone.
Yeah.
Your good works mean nothing. And then in the red, attributed to Jesus, he said, let your works glorify your Father.
Mm-hmm.
Not like, oh, well, that's going to get you to heaven, because actually heaven, if the kingdom of God is within us, that's where it's all at.
Yeah.
So it isn't like going someplace,
uh-huh.
is it?
It is and it isn't at the same time, because your whole life does change as you go through your life's journey, you know, wherever you go.
Yeah.
You always bring yourself along with you, and part of the problem is we have to shed the old to attain the new.
Uh-huh.
The attainment of spirit is a desire. They used to say that it was a love of the soul for the spirit. It was the love of the soul that drove it on. And then you gained more enlightenment, not perfect enlightenment, because you can't in this world. You know, the world is tainted to an extent, but it drew you much, much closer. And so your life's journey was really a preparation for what went on afterwards.
Uh-huh.
And of course, in this society we have today, they've crushed all hope of that. They made us think of the purely material, and the science, and the scientists, basically, and the experts, have taken over the natural religions, you might say, and now we have a scientific elite religion with its own destination, which is the so-called great work of masonry, which is to complete that which they say was left imperfect. And that's the world and everything in it, including us ourselves.
So in other words, that when Creator recreated, he didn't do it good enough?
Not for these guys, no.
Not for these guys.
And you see, once you step out of Eden, which is paradise, in other words, it's nature. Once you step out and you start making tools and so-called improvements, you're on the road to science. And science is a one-way street towards oblivion, ultimately. Because you cannot have science coexisting with free will eventually.
I think you should expand on that, because that sounds like a pretty generic statement and I'm not understanding it.
Yeah, well, the ancients, scientists, or you can call them priests if you want, for example, is Babylon. And they had a lot of knowledge of the scientific world, basically. Couched in religious terminology. But they also said that they would, through understanding nature, meaning breaking nature down to its primary components, and then by manipulating it, they could recreate man and make him better. You see? And that's never changed. That goal has never changed. And that's why we're on a one-way street towards massive genetic manipulation, where the elite will have physical immortality. That's what they're after. And the rest will be purpose-made clones, basically. And this is documented stuff. It's not guesswork. I mean, there's many scientific papers out right now about all of this. So there's a goal, and it's all been done through science and the manipulation of matter.
When you come, you know, start from the beginning, and when you said, when we left Eden, mm-hmm. and we began to make tools.
Yeah.
Well, I tried to picture myself trying to garden without a spade or a...
Yeah, yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But basically in Eden, then what would have been paradise, we didn't have to garden because it was all there?
Yeah, I mean, Eden is an allegory.
Okay, thank you.
You see, it's an allegory for perfect nature. But man himself is not satisfied with it. And once you start on the road of discovery or science and breaking down the secrets of nature, you are on the one-way street to an elite eventually dominating everybody on the planet and changing life itself, which is all on the books. They do want to make purpose-made types of humans to serve this elite in the very near future.
They want what?
Purpose-made clones, basically, to serve this elite in the very near future.
Uh-huh.
And it's well documented in all the scientific journals.
Think that was done in the past?
I think so. It's no coincidence that we have... we know, for instance, that the inoculation program was never given to help people. It was given literally to lobotomize the public as we went through massive transitions, and it kept us placid and pretty stupid all through these transitions. A dumbed-down society is easy to manipulate.
We've got a call. I don't know if this is the wrong number or not. Let me take it. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Gloria from New York.
Hello.
It's the wrong number.
No, it's not a wrong number, Gloria.
I was wondering, I have a few questions for your guest.
Okay, you want to ask the questions and then hang up so you can hear him?
that sounds good.
Okay.
Okay. I'm a Christian now, and I know the part where Jesus says that no one comes to the Father Creator but through me. So that's why I'm a Christian now. I used to be, I know this sounds crazy, but I used to be a former abductee. That is my witness. I have had many experiences with the UFOs. I tell you, I'm an abductee. I've seen them. I've gone through so much for about 4 or 5 years. Anyway, when I became a Christian, all that went away, because that's why I had to become a Christian. I needed that protection. I'm wondering, I wanted to ask you, sir, where do the UFOs, those unseen forces out there, fit in with your New Age, philosophy? Also, what about the communist hordes, those communist hordes that control Canada? Canada is, like, so filthy and degraded and evil. There is evil everywhere there and in America. And also, another question. What is your opinion of the Jews today, the Khazar Jews, that are just causing hell everywhere? And what's the answer for us people who want to know about the New Age, your New Age philosophy? And I'll hang up and take your answer off the air. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Gloria. Gosh, that was a mouthful, wasn't it, Alan?
It's standard, yeah.
Yeah, standard. How would you answer, first of all, to this, the New Age? One of the New Age, I read a book about the Knights Templar, and I have the book somewhere in my bookshelves and have not been able to put my hands on it again.
Yeah.
But towards the end of the book, they began talking about the New Age.
Uh-huh.
And it is, to me, that there is a turning, if you would,
uh-huh.
but that they know it and that they take control of it and they guide and lead it.
Sure, oh, yeah, sure they do.
But what people call New Age so often
uh-huh.
is where the truth is being hidden amongst lies.
Oh, always. When truth is exposed, it's been kept hidden from the public. It's always given to leaders who are the shepherds, and they lead us along the way they want us to go, always. So, and the thing is, the New Age is always becoming new.
Is always becoming new. What does that mean?
Well, Jesus started the New Covenant. That was a New Age. The Old Covenant was the Old Age.
Okay.
You see, and of course, Jesus was the his reign was supposedly the age of Pisces, the fish.
Uh-huh.
Now it's into Aquarius.
The age of Aquarius.
But this, again, is only a timetable of the hidden elite that run the show.
But, so in other words, what the way they configure it is about every couple thousand years we're moving into a new age, so to
yeah,
speak.
Yeah, that's right.
So how would... how do you respond to Gloria in her question to you about your New Age philosophy?
Well, it's, once you become anything and join a group that has a tailor-made formula, anything outside that group becomes the enemy, including all individuals with their own philosophy. So it doesn't worry me that she says you're New Age, because it isn't mine anyway.
It isn't yours anyway.
No. And as far as the communist Canada, I mean, I think she was calling from New York, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think that says it all.
What do you mean, says it all?
Well, it's no secret that communism was run and led and financed from New York.
Mm-hmm.
All through its existence.
Well, Gloria is not a communist, I can tell you that.
No, but you should wonder what empire state they're talking about. What empire are they talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because communists in Canada,
yeah.
whoever is in control of this world, or it certainly appears that they are, communism was created by those creatures capitalism was created by those creatures.
Uh-huh.
I mean, all of the isms,
that's right,
are a creation of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the statement, no one comes to the Father but through me.
Yeah, well, Jesus said it all. He says to his followers, I am in you as you are in me. As the Father is in me, he's in you as well.
Yes. And no one comes to the Father but through me.
Mm-hmm.
The way I quote in my own, quote, interpretation,
yeah,
that it sounds to me like he's saying, listen to me.
Yeah.
Listen to what I am telling you.
Well, that's very important, because it isn't, again, we get transfixed on a singular human being, but it's also the pathway, basically. The road to enlightenment can only go in that one direction and through that direction. And that's what that means.
His message.
Yeah.
The message that he brought, yes. That's what that's always meant to me.
You can't go through it any other way. In other words, no matter how many people diverge from the course, if they were to meet up again at the same stage, they would all have had to come back on that one course to be the same.
The path that he more or less trod out.
Yeah, you see, truth is only truth. We're told today is whatever your opinion is.
Truth, you know, in Black's Law Dictionary,
uh-huh,
it is actually one of the definitions is that truth is consistency of thought within itself.
Exactly.
So if we think it long enough and hard enough and keep saying it, that's truth.
Mm-hmm.
So truth could be anything.
That's what Pontius Pilate asked Jesus. What is truth?
Did he?
Yeah.
I don't remember reading that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, but as far as the communist thing goes, it's all rubbish, because it's simply the dialectic which causes conflict, which causes faster change. And this is planned by the same bunch that created both of them.
Yeah, communism and capitalism.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And Carl Quigley said it all. He says you can get more accomplished in 5 years of warfare on a social scale than you can in 50 years of peace. And so, by understanding the laws of nature, which is this yin and yang type deal, using both of them, you can actually steer the course of planet Earth and speed up the process. That's what they believe. And they actually do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
They live by timetables.
You know, it occurs to me, because Gloria sounded a bit challenging to, you know, in her questions.
Mm-hmm.
And she isn't, she's called in before.
Uh-huh.
And she is not. But I think what she was doing is misunderstanding that what you were talking about was not, quote, a belief,
yeah,
system, but what they believe.
That's right.
And how they are working under that belief system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're dealing with people who have their own inner religion. Albert Pike, the High Mason, said all this, that every church, he didn't say some churches, he says every church has the exoteric for the bulk of the people, the masses, and the esoteric for the very elite.
Esoteric meaning an inner meaning, and exoteric meaning an outer,
yep,
a sensible meaning.
That's right.
Uh-huh.
And even masonry is the same. He said masonry also has its outer group, which is, in a sense, camouflage. And it has its inner elite with its own agenda.
Yes, and he said the outer court,
mm-hmm,
he called it the outer court, the exoteric,
yeah,
which would be the lower degrees,
mm-hmm,
that they are, they believe that they understand, and they're meant to believe that they understand,
yeah,
what's actually going on.
That's right.
When in reality, they're nothing more than window dressing.
Yes, in fact, he said that really, they know no more than the general public. But what they do know is that they help each other to get on with unmerited favor to do with jobs and so on.
In the protocols, the way they say that is that they call it show masonry,
mm-hmm,
and that those goyim who are attracted to it,
uh-huh,
want to be in it so that they can throw sand in their brothers' faces.
Well, they can, because, as I say, they get unmerited favor,
yeah,
through employment and pay raises, and they bypass bureaucratic offices and so on, and can get a lot of things done that you would have to pay through the nose to get done.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, they get a lot of perks, and so it does attract a very basic type of person.
Materialistic.
Very much so.
Very materialistic type person.
Mm-hmm.
Gloria did ask for you to address at least your understanding or opinion of the UFO situation.
Mm-hmm.
And how it fits into all this thing.
Well, the UFO deal was a puzzle because, number one, we've had sciences on Earth here that were far in advance of what we were told. Who knows how long they've been here? But they're sciences. They're physical sciences. On the other hand, too many people have had visitations with these beings. I haven't met one yet who's had a visitation where anything of import has been given to them. They haven't come away from the encounter any brighter or wiser than they were before.
You mean abductees?
Abductees, or again, I'm sort of skeptical of the amount of people who say they've been abducted, because they've had studies and they found under hypnosis with test groups, some who claimed they had been, and just members of the general population who had no idea at all of it. And they found out with the same hypnotists, they had the same amount and a number of people claiming they had encounters from the group who had no record of it. So there's some form of suggestion going on here too, you see.
You know, well, I've always believed that there was life of some form, maybe not humanoid, but life on other planets.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just is almost arrogance to believe that we are the only life form on the only planet in these myriads of universes and et cetera. But I've also thought about this ability that exists to literally give us false memories.
Mm-hmm.
And I've.
You're right on that, because some of the higher Masons belong to what they call triangles.
What?
They belong to groups, and they're set up in triangles in different parts of the country, and they do, in the higher, the much higher Masonry, force their will upon general population within that triangle, and I have some of their books.
Well, in what way? How do they force their will? What has this got to do with UFOs? That's my.
It's the same
question.
Thing. You're talking about how people are so fascinated by it, but they all. I mean, do you have an encounter, or did something put that in your head? I mean, that's really what we're asking.
Yeah.
And if it did get popped into your head, where did it come from?
I had a series of dreams, three of them, when I lived in Illinois,
mm-hmm.
and they came very close on one another.
Yeah.
And we have to take a break right here, so I don't want to get into it, but it was a very vivid dream.
Mm-hmm.
They were very vivid dreams.
Yeah.
And in one of them, I had been taken up on a spaceship, Alan,
yeah.
and they were poking something underneath my fingernails.
Mm-hmm.
And when I woke up in the morning, the first thing I did was look to see if I had marks under there.
Yeah.
And I don't know what there was about that, but I was a little freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, we're going to be back right after this. Please get your pen in hand and take my address down. This broadcast is brought to you by you, our listeners. And I hope that you will write the address down, and I invite you to become a participating listener sponsor of this broadcast. We'll be right back with Alan Rock.
What in the world is going on? Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70. You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network.
This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petru, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petru, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
All right, we're back, folks, and Alan Watt is our guest tonight. For those of you who are new listeners, when Alan first began coming on to Sweet Liberty as a guest, this was back in 1998, we did a series. We didn't plan on doing a series, but listeners kept calling and saying, keep him on, keep him on, keep him on. And at that time, there weren't good telephone rates, and there were listeners who actually sponsored the cost of Alan calling from Canada to be on the air with us. And the way I want you to know this, I know that you've heard me mention his name many times. When he was on with us originally, in a sense, what he did is take us all out of the dark ages and of ancient history. We really never got into more current history with Alan, other than sometimes talking about current happenings. But I would like you to just consider just listening, and if you have questions, get a hold of me. I'll be glad to ask. Alan and I have not communicated in quite a while, and one of the things that he said to me when we were first talking after a long period of time, he said, you're in a rut, and I felt offended when he said that. But I knew that what he was saying was right, except the use of the word rut I wasn't getting. And so when we talked another time, I asked him to define what he meant by rut. He said, you've come to a point and you haven't gone beyond it. And that I knew was the truth. Folks, to me, there is nothing today more important than us understanding or getting closer to understanding who, in fact, we really are. And this thing that we call religion, you've heard me say it. I know that I've stepped on many toes when I have said that religions were created by man. I knew that before Alan Watt said it. I don't say it as a parrot. I knew that when I was 15 years old that something was very wrong. I knew when I was a little girl that something wasn't right with this world. And I grew up in the Lutheran Church, and every time I went to our pastor to ask him a question, and it didn't matter whether it was in Flint, Michigan or Chicago or where I was, they patted me on the arm, and this is figuratively, of course, and then changed the subject because my questions bothered them. And I finally stopped going to church because I knew we weren't getting the truth. You're on the air.
Hi, Jackie. It's Eleanor White.
Hello, Eleanor.
Just a quickie. Alan was about to expand on what he meant by the Masonic triangles and forcing their influence on people.
Thank you. Before
I'd love to hear details on that. Now hang up and listen.
Thanks, Eleanor.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Alan?
Yeah.
Well, good for Eleanor, because I do have a tendency to do this. That was before the break. I just want I want to say this to our listeners. And I've said it, I'm going to say it again, religions were created by man. And when Jesus, I have found nothing, of course, we were given very little in the Bible of Jesus' works, his actual true, his works, his message. But there is truth there, and there is enough for us to live by if we read it carefully. But there is nowhere that I have ever read that he came here to start a new religion. A religion was built around the figure that we know as Jesus. And I believe, and I have believed for a long time, that most of the message that he was bringing to this world that was in such darkness has been twisted and torqued by the same creatures that he was exposing at the time that he was here. And I'll get off that. Alan, if you want to comment, and then Eleanor would like for you to expand on this triangle thing.
Yeah, I've got it in a few of the Insider Freemason books, not the type that you buy on a shelf, a counter at some big bookstore. And some of the ones come from the High Theosophist, for instance, which is just one branch of it. And they go through this process where they control the thoughts of the world by imposing their will, their perfected will, they tell you, by the way, on the public within the range of their triangle. And they have the North America, for instance, broken up into triangles, and they have major lodges at the points of the triangle in each area, and they meet on certain occasions at night and go through all this willpower projection, you might call it.
You mean they're doing it mentally?
Some of them certainly do it mentally. The Theosophists claim that their major triangles are based in New York City, London, and Switzerland. And they are bringing the agenda further on, they claim. They also use predictive programming through entertainment so that ideas that would seem absurd, if presented in a factual, a non-fictional way, you would be rejected out of hand or even rebelled against. But when you see things through fictionalization and comedy, you don't retaliate when the actual thing occurs in reality.
In other words, we don't resist it.
It's called predictive programming from Tavistock Institute.
Can you think of an example to give on that, how they will give the truth or the facts?
To do with the gender bending, let's say.
Gender bending?
That was all done through comedy and taking sexuality into a more open arena step by step. Until you're watching programs now that hide very little, and of course they are going to go the whole way, ultimately, on TV, and that will become standard fare. So they break down the moral codes of the individual and then introduce the new, and when anything goes, then literally anything goes. You have nothing to hold on to when there are no rights and wrongs anymore. So
yeah, we do.
It's moral relativism, as they call it.
What we have to hold on to is what's in our heart. What we know is the difference between right and wrong.
Well, we must hang on to who we are, you see.
And who are we?
You have to find out who you are. That's the journey. That's the journey, because most people are composites.
Composite. You say composites?
Yeah.
And I translate that composite.
You say tomato. We could start the song now.
I know. I just want our listeners, because when you first said composite, or how do you say it?
Yeah, composite, yeah.
Yeah, I was lost for a minute until I realized that means composite. Many aspects of self.
Yeah.
Many aspects, is that what you mean by composite?
And most of it is actually downloading, like Zygmunt Brzezinski said, in the Technotronic era. He said, and remember who he was, he was up there in the War Department of the U.S. And he said, apart from all the high technology they had back in the 60s, that would eventually be used on the whole world to control the mind, he did say that people shortly would be unable to form an opinion by themselves. Now, they could fight and die and hold on to those opinions, but it would never occur to them, they'd never researched a single one for themselves, because it all was downloaded through the nightly news for them.
Yes.
And so it's true. I mean, everyone's got 1,000 opinions, They'll argue about them, but they've never researched any of them for themselves. So that's part composite, you see. It's been manufactured for them. So that there's part of their personality which is fake to begin with. It's not them at all. And the rest of it is training through school and media, entertainment, and so on.
Okay, I want to... I happen to have this book laying here, Alan.
Mm-hmm.
This is a book titled The Cause of World Unrest.
Yeah.
And there's a quote here, and what you said made me think of it. I happen to have it underlined and highlighted. He says that... Just a minute here. Okay, he's talking about the policy, the Bolshevik policy,
mm-hmm.
is to kill industry so that unemployment, want, and discontent will continue. Read the old revolutionary maxim
mm-hmm.
on which they act today. Want and opinion are the two agents which make all men act.
Mm-hmm.
Cause the want, govern opinions, and you will overturn all the existing systems, however well conditioned, constituted they may appear. Cause the want and then govern the opinions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We're always being told what the solution is to whatever they give to us.
And we're always being told what we think, too.
That's right. And the next day, everyone's chatting about what they heard on the news the previous day.
Well, actually, they talk about what they think.
Uh-huh.
Because they've been told what they think.
That's
and
right.
I've shared this with our listeners before
mm-hmm.
In a conversation with my own nephew when he was talking about the Houston Chronicle. He didn't like it, he said, because there's too much editorializing.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I thought, there were some pretty decent articles for a newspaper-controlled medium.
Yeah.
And he said, but we don't need to be told what we think.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, the problem, though, Leslie, is that... people think that they have their own thoughts, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned around and said to me, this was during the Monica Lewinsky thing.
Yeah.
I heard this said over and over and over again on CNN. He said, well, let's use this, Bill Clinton thing for an example.
Yeah.
We, and by we, he said, I'm talking about we, the general public. We don't care what he's done. We just want this whole thing over, and we want him to get back to the business of running this country.
Mm-hmm.
And Alan, my heart just fell because he said it word for word the way he was told
yeah.
that the American people think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. No, the public are given their thoughts. And that's everyone. And you have to break free from all of the conditioning to think for yourself. And ignore all the trivia that they give you. Governments are not real. They're just fronts. It doesn't matter what side they think they're on. They're all just fronts. They don't run.
Well, the government leaders
uh-huh.
are puppets.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All of them. It doesn't matter which country you choose. They're all puppets.
And I remember reading a quote somewhere, and I think that there was a time when I wouldn't have even seen this, that the governments are supposed to make laws according to the consent of the governed.
Yeah.
And basically what we were saying is, you govern us, so you better do what we want.
Yeah, that's right.
But we literally refer to ourselves as the governed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we are. Yeah. 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 No, but the governments are not the bosses. I mean, during the whole Cold War era, isn't it amazing that they were creating a united Europe, unbeknownst to all the people who lived within Europe? You know, they were creating a unified Africa. They were creating a unified Pacific Rim bloc. And they were creating a unified Americas.
Well, guess what the first of all of those unifieds were? The United States of America.
Oh, of course, that's its purpose.
And you know, all of us who were born in America,
uh-huh.
the quote, United States,
yeah.
never occurred to me, Alan, when they were talking about this European Union.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God, this is terrible. All those countries are going to lose their, quote, sovereignty.
Yeah.
And it happened here a long time ago.
Oh, Jefferson said it. He said, and so did Franklin, said, this country is founded on the basis of federation, which will eventually be a federated world.
Oh, really?
Yeah, under a government of 12 wise men. That's in Jefferson's writings. So they knew exactly where they were going.
Jefferson was a Phi Beta Kappa, I understand.
He was also an open member of the Illuminati.
The Illuminati, uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he was an open member.
I understand the Phi Beta Kappa was one of those college, what did they call those things?
Fraternity.
Yeah, thank you. Where a lot of the elite were turned out.
Yeah. In fact, if you look at Elihu Yale, who donated the money for the foundation of Yale University, he said, "This we are setting up these universities to create the types of leaders who will lead this country into the future." Now, that, so in other words, they were training them for, before the revolution.
Yeah, before the revolution,
Yale,
yes.
Elihu Yale made his money from the English East India Company. He was one of the founding members. So these guys are all in it together. And they have. They've created the future they wanted. The U.S. just has to finish off the job it's been designed to do. And as they're doing it, they're getting the U.S. ready to collapse into the system that they helped create.
When you were doing guest appearances, I guess we call it, when you were sharing this broadcast in the past, you had put together two sort of like booklets.
Yeah.
Are those still available, Alan?
They are, yeah.
Well, you see, we still have them. I noticed it listed in our resource section,
mm-hmm.
except I'm sure that the address is wrong.
Yeah.
One of the things that, see, we've got a lot of new listeners since you've been on,
uh-huh.
and you said a lot of outrageous and audacious and almost unbelievable things,
mm-hmm.
and then people, our listeners, started doing research and started sending me stuff and saying, look at this, look at this. This is exactly what Alan was talking about. And I think that, I mean, we cannot turn around and redo those many, many hours that we did together.
Mm-hmm.
But if they're available, we're going to need an address where people could get the information.
Yeah.
The reason I'm bringing this up is because you do say some things that are so off the wall, or they sound so off the wall,
mm-hmm.
that it just couldn't be true. And then in this booklet you put together, it isn't just your writings
mm-hmm.
explaining what's in the booklet, but it is it's copies out of old books,
yep.
ancient books. For mm-hmm. example, you said that at one time that their plan is to actually morph humanity so that we'll all be hermaphrodites.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I said many times, I know you probably remember this, I would say to our listeners, just because Alan Watt says this doesn't mean it's so.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't verify it because I don't have the information at hand. So just, you know, don't, in other words, don't take it to the bank.
Yeah.
But then you had in one of your booklets, and then I got a book that was written in 1950-something
yeah.
by one of our listeners. He was ready, it was an old book he had, he was ready to pitch it, and he started thumbing through it, and he found in there exactly what you were talking about, how they
yeah.
could create mm-hmm. an hermaphrodite.
Yeah, in fact, the American Psychiatric Association put a book out in the 60s after being funded by the U.S. government for 2-year study on this very subject. And the latter part of the book was all about the creation of the hermaphrodite in order to have world peace. And they go through all this in detail. It's called The Human Agenda.
The Human Agenda, yes.
Yeah. And you can't get much more official than that.
One of the things that... see, my mind just goes it starts exploding when we're...
If I would just keep on that for a second, Jackie.
Okay, please. Okay, I'll be quiet.
There's a movement started up in the U.S. with people born since the 1950s onwards. And they got they managed through the Freedom of Information Act to get their medical records. They'd all been born hermaphroditic, male and female. They all lived around U.S. naval bases. And one of their parents, or sometimes both, were in the Navy. The mothers, when they were expecting, were all given special inoculations, they were told, and supplements, because they lacked certain things. And their children all end up hermaphroditic.
And that means having sexual organs of both male and female.
That's right. And in three states alone in the U.S., they've now found 10,000 people that... I've had this done to them, basically.
Now, where do you have a source where people could...
I caught it on a radio show just a few weeks ago. It's a fairly recent organization, but they do have the declassified records from the U.S. Navy to prove this and back this up.
And they're using hormones?
Yeah, they were using hormonal treatments on the mothers. Mm-hmm. And it produced these hermaphroditic children. You wonder why the world's in chaos today, where a lot of women think they're men and a lot of men think they're women. I don't think it's by chance. And that's the amazing thing, is that this is an agenda. When the American Psychiatric Association do a think tank study with the best psychiatrists pulled in from all over the world, and
but
they
well,
conclude that they must create this kind of society.
They must create what?
A hermaphroditic society.
For world peace.
For world peace. So really, we're living in a horror show. You know. I used to say we live in a Disney movie, but that's only during the day.
Yeah, but you know, Disneyland can be fun for people. I don't... Mm-hmm. See anything Disney-like about this? It's all insane.
It's a horror show.
It is a horror show.
Yeah, and we're living through it. The whole population has been experimented upon in ways they don't even comprehend because it's such high tech. You know? And now with the towers going up everywhere, which are designed for mind control purposes, and this is on main news here. They're installing these all over the U.S. and they'll be able to work and broadcast on the same frequency levels as the brain, and they hope to pacify people in times of crisis, and this is the reason they're putting up the towers.
And this was what was said on the news in Canada.
Yeah, just a few days ago.
So you know, this goes along with a lot of what is in Dr. Nick Begich's book on the harp towers.
Yep.
How they can tune into the frequency of the human brain.
They've had that ability
for a long time. Yeah.
Yep.
And you, who did you hear, or did I read it in an email, where they said that they were spraying Prozac, or they were prepared?
Oh, no, that was the mainstream news, CBC Canada. On television.
And say it, because I've forgotten how you say
it. Yeah, it was Rumsfeld was asked on one of these brief clips they show you what contingency plans he had for another 9/11 deal. And he said, we have aerosolized Prozac and Valium ready to go and to be sprayed over the cities. And I thought, well, if they have it ready to go, I wonder if they're already doing it, because
sure.
They're spraying the skies everywhere.
Sure.
And people definitely are far too passive for the changes that are taking place right now. You know, and that, I think the spraying of the skies alone shows you what you're up against here, because there's no government will admit to this or doing it.
Uh-huh.
But they all admit they will admit it's being done. But not by them.
Oh, you had explained that to me too. They're using the Open Skies Treaty as their as their justification.
And
well, there are chemicals being sprayed, but
mm-hmm.
it isn't us doing it.
Yeah, that's right. It's like a Dr. Strangelove policy, where we do it somewhere else and someone else does it to us.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think of the volume that he must have had stored up to even begin this on a daily basis, he had to be making this since about 1950 onwards, at least.
Mm-hmm.
And Dow Chemicals and all the big boys have to be involved for the quantities they're using. And people are being affected by it. I've watched them. We were getting static shocks all summer when he came out of the vehicle. So much so, they put little blurbs on the news not to touch your vehicle and the pump at the fill-up station, because sparks can fly across. Well, that's impossible in natural summers because it's humid and it's hot. You only get that in the winter time, but not now.
Mm-hmm.
We're living in the scientific age.
Well, when Dr. Begich was on with us, and the God, Alan, this was, oh my gosh, when I first started doing radio back in 95, and he was talking about some experiments they had done, not him, but that had been done, how they could cause emotional upheaval, and he said that they, that was back in 95, and I'm sure it's been a lot longer than that. But
they had handheld weaponry that they could cause this from any distance.
Okay.
Back in the 1950s.
Before all the towers were up.
Yeah.
But he said they could tune it to a frequency.
Yeah.
They could make everybody feel good. They could make people feel angry.
Mm-hmm.
And they could make them feel suicidal and homicidal.
That's right.
At the flick of a switch.
Yeah, they were testing the people of Maine.
We're out of time.
They were the experimental test group for that.
In Maine?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Would you be able to come back with us tomorrow night?
Yeah, sure.
All right, well, I'm going to write a big word here, Maine, and we'll just pick up where we left off, okay?
Mm-hmm.
On experiments.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being with us tonight. Please have your pen in your hand. And take my address down. We'll be back with you tomorrow night with Alan Mott. Until then, thank you for being here. And God bless you folks. And Alan, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming on with us. Good night, ladies and gentlemen.
Roll away the dawn.
You have been listening to Jackie Petrou's Sweet Liberty program on the First Amendment Radio Network. This broadcast is also archived and audio streamed on the internet at firstamendmentradio.com. Sweet Liberty is a fully listener-sponsored program. Your donations to support these broadcasts are a necessity. Send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190, Millerton, P.A. 16936. Again, send your check or blank money order to Jackie Petrou, P.O. Box 190 Millerton, PA 16936. Be sure to visit the sweetliberty.org website. Thank you for your continued support. And stay tuned to firstamendmentradio.com.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
This is Nicholas from Presence of